Carolina is basically cutting the cord with Cam Newton. I've never been a huge fan of Cam. Cam's got no class. Cam is a jerk. Cam had a dick. This is what people said about Elvis. They didn't like that hip shaking either. Cam Newton is a transcendent mega talent. So Carolina is basically cutting the cord with Cam Newton. I've never been a huge fan of Cam. Big game. I take Cam over Aaron Rodgers. And you think I'm nuts.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
So there's a great site out there that forever solely concentrated on Mike Francesa and catching him in, you know, back and forth where he changes his opinion, or he just says, I never said that. And they're like, you said it. Here's the video. What is it? Funhouse? It's like back after this.
Back after.
Right.
AFTA. This.
So now that Francesa's not on a whole lot, he's just doing stuff for radio.com. They're starting to branch out to other shows. That one was crazy.
That's nuts.
That's Colin the last couple of days talking about Cam Newton going bye-bye from the Panthers, saying I've never been a big fan of him, but then catching him in multiple clips in the past where he's like, transcendent guy. Cam over Aaron Rodgers. Like, wait a second.
It's hard to do it 3 hours by yourself. Or is it 4 hours for him? Sometimes you put your foot in your mouth.
It is. It
now,
is.
Having said that, I think I've told you.
And I'm sure I've done it. God, I hope I haven't done it so drastically, though, where I'm like, I'm not a big fan, and then I'm arguing on the other side. And you know what? You're entitled to. No, but you can't. That's not changing your mind.
No, I think.
Said I've never been a big fan of Cam is not changing your mind. Like, no. Maybe I'm not as high on Cam as I used to be.
No, yeah. If
things have changed with age, but I've never been high on him when clearly there are clips there where you're high on him. Come on, Colin.
I've been very much like staunch in my support for Cam Newton, so I will never change. But I think sometimes you just got to feed the beast when you're like big Radiohead guy.
Yeah.
And that's Colin. And sometimes you just got to play the hits, and every once in a while you get lost.
Oops.
In your own grandeur. And by the way, that's the goal for me, to be a Mike Francesa. I've told you this. A Mike Francesa or a Colin Cowherd to do it. And this might seem like a shot. It probably is. That just kind of rolls in and just like, all right, what's my take today? I'm in. Blather for 3 hours and I'm out.
I don't think it's fair to put Colin and Francesa together.
Oh, so I got you to admit that Francesa is actually not that good.
Well, he's an older guy now. I don't think he preps. He comes from an era where they didn't prep, and they also didn't have the staff that Colin has. So it's a little more advanced versus what it used to be. And they do totally different shows. Francesa is 80%, 85% phone calls for 35 years. That's not really Colin, you know, for the last 10.
Phone call sports radio is pretty dead, yeah.
It's not in the Northeast. It's still a big deal in the Northeast, and it's still a big deal on some of the channels where, you know, you work at SiriusXM. Yeah. So
I think that's another conversation. I think it's the worst form of radio.
So choose your fate at four. Maybe something Mike Francesa would never do, right? Allowing the audience, because we have no topics.
Who's gonna
We're
God
desperate.
The,
we have no topics.
Who's
so we let you
God the freak.
We let you choose the topic. Did you like the list today?
Yeah.
You don't sound enthused.
No, I was doing a Francesa impression.
Oh.
Did you see, there's so much. Did you see Colin responding to a text on the air the other day?
No.
It was when he was breaking the news about Tom Brady to Tampa Bay, and he pulled a Francesa, where he's going, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he even broke in at one point.
Looking on the phone?
Yeah, that's when Francesa, that's the story where Francesa was reading something on his phone while he was live on the air and spent 30 seconds reading it in complete silence. But Cowherd actually broke in to like 15 seconds in. He's like, sorry, I got to get back to this. You'll know when I know. It's still pretty good, though.
Your choices today. Disneyland streak ends. Coach Joe at a gun shop? Ari loves This Is Us. And NFL coronavirus clauses. Pretty close up top. Ari's TV interest, last place. Might be on Ari. Coach Joe won. Disneyland right behind it. NFL coronavirus clauses a little further behind. Yeah, I don't know. Coach Joe was out today in his car. Joe Esposito, who's a regular with us, and he had a video of a massive line at a gun shop.
That sounds scary. That's really actually kind of freaky. How many people in that line do you think are trained to handle a firearm? I would venture to say 99% no.
How many people in that line are of right mind to be getting a gun right now? Like, why are they getting a gun?
Of course. There's this
now, that said, I can't I don't know what's going to happen. So I can't sit here and say, hey, don't have one. Don't protect yourself. You do what you want. But one, the social distancing thing, nonsense right now, because people are standing in line, you know, 2 feet from each other.
Yep.
But crazy times right now. Crazy times, and Joe's out there doing the video. He was not actually going into.
Say,
he said he wasn't going in. He said he was going out to get Lysol, but I think he's all stocked up on Lysol, so I don't know what he was out for. He might have just been driving around. I think, were you the one who brought it up yesterday?
I did, yeah.
And I kind of shot it down immediately, where you're like, you just think people are kind of getting nuts all cooped up, and they're just going out for drives?
That's what I want to do.
I don't see, I would say, let's see, to and from work yesterday, to work today, I would say volume is still at about 90% of normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's dropped off at all. And again, I drive in the afternoon at, you know, 2:15, 2:30, because I don't work at the station during the day. And, you know, obviously I'm driving home at the end of the show. Everyone knows when the show ends, but I'm driving home at 6:30. So a little after rush hour, but I haven't seen much of a drop off.
I mean, like, I just went off my own personal, like, feelings. Like, there's been times where I do want to just kind of drive around, get out of the house. I've wanted to drive down the strip just to see what it looks like, you know, things like that, where you can keep your social distancing but still get out of the house. Having said that, you're right. Like, it hasn't seemed to be. I've personally seen a little bit of a drop off in terms of traffic when I'm out and about, but it is nowhere near like you would think. It would be like a ghost town.
Well, we keep seeing pictures of the strip, right?
Yeah.
It ain't like that around the rest of town.
No.
The videos of the strip, it's like we've never seen anything like this on the strip.
Yeah. So that's in. I will say, like, you know, like when we talked about it yesterday, when we talked about going to the grocery store yesterday, like, there weren't that many people there. It seemed pretty empty. So maybe I'm just going at the right times. But the spots that I've seen, I have seen personally a downtick in traffic, both on the streets and just in general spots. But I do keep seeing videos of people just still out doing stuff in lines for things. So maybe I'm just missing out. I'm going at all the wrong times.
At 4:30, we're trying something new, and we'll see if we can do it every day. I'm not sure the show can do it or keep it together. Trying to bring you some happy stories, cheer you up a little bit.
Oh, shut.
This one, I think, is a nice story. I mean, there's some sadness to it, but it's a nice story. Are we going to mock on this person? Disneyland closure ends man's 95-day streak of visits.
Yes, we're going to mock on this man.
Why?
Why do you go to Disneyland for almost 3,000 consecutive days?
It's fun.
No, it's not. It's one, it's expensive. So screw you for your whatever you're buying, you know, however you're affording to go all these times.
Wait until we get to 4:30 with Mr. Sunshine's good time stories.
Yeah, so this is, so first off, I think you're flaunting your money in my face. So screw you for being able to buy season passes going every single day, whatever it is. Because I went one day, and I feel like I was going to leave my wife there and be like, sorry. Like, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to afford this on the way back. But then on top of that, nobody likes Disney stuff that much. Like, you can only go so many, like, what are you doing? How many times can you go on Space Mountain? How many times can you go on the Matterhorn or Finding Nemo's submarine ride? Or the Star Wars thing?
That's a good question. I'm thinking about
it. Or Haunted Mansion.
And I love Disney World.
Right.
People think I'm a grump, but I'm quite jovial.
And also, by the way,
Ari just looks like, no, you're not.
Like, out of those,
I am. I love Disney World, Disneyland, Disney World.
I don't think anybody likes it that much. That's just, that person has to be weird.
Over 8 years running.
Yeah, that's
every day to Disneyland. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Hey, good for him. He's getting value out of those season passes, yearly passes, whatever they are.
That's ridiculous. What do you do every day? There are people that know him. Like, hey, Jeb, what's going on?
But what would? Okay, if you have.
Buzz Lightyear shooting adventure again.
If you have the extra scratch, this guy's only 47, so I don't know if he works or he came into money, he retired at 30, he's a freaking .com millionaire.
So at 39, he started this run.
Yeah. So that's cool. But could I go every day? If I treated it like just basically like a bar or restaurant, I could go every day.
No, you couldn't.
You just go to the bars and restaurants. Go on the rides a little bit.
By
the way, what a relief if you go to Disneyland every day. For 8 years, there's no pressure when you go in. When you go, the times you've been there, like you just said, you start to get, instead of having fun, you're like, we got to go 100 miles an hour. Other lines over here. We got to, you know, save a space over here. Where's the app? Can we get the kid food? How much is it?
How
long is
the
line?
Kid last time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But I mean, like a lot of times you're so frenzied to get to everything. Would it be cool to just, if you're going all the time, you're like, Space Mountain, maybe next week.
I don't think Disneyland's that cool. So I guess.
I tried. I tried.
I don't think it's. I think it's ridiculous.
I tried, Ari. Trying to make it happy.
There's a quote that he said he was trying to seek like the Guinness World Record for consecutive visits. If that's what he was going for, then I guess I'm kind of in on like this whole quest. But does that really just mean that he walks in, steps foot in the park, and then leaves? Like, how long do you have to be there for it to count as a visit?
Talk a little hockey on the way back. Sorry, John. No. Talk a little hockey on the way back. We'll find out what's going on around the Vegas Golden Knights as one of the AT&T broadcasters, Shane Knighty, is up on Cofield & Company.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.
Shane Knighty here, standing outside STK at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, my favorite restaurant on the Strip. Not only the food, the atmosphere, the vibe, phenomenal. We're going to meet up with head chef Stephen Hopcross, who's going to make some dishes with us. We're going to make some of my favorites and the players of the Golden Knights. So let's go take a look inside.
Now, back to Cofield & Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
All right, we're going to try to hunt down Shane Knighty, Golden Knights announcer, in just a couple minutes. You hear him there doing a pass feature out on the Strip. We'll find out what's going on around Knighty's world and also VGK. More breaking news. We're going to get to the whole NBA angle that Bill de Blasio threw out, the mayor of New York, who was questioning how there aren't tests for many people around the country, the average citizen, but the NBA players are being tested left and right. And now we've got, what, multiple teams announcing that more members or members of their squad have coronavirus?
Yeah, so the Philadelphia 76ers have said three members of their franchise have tested positive.
Not necessarily players.
So not necessarily players, but it has been specified that two Lakers players have tested positive.
Okay. And corona. You just had a note during the break. You saw the governor of California said what over the next 8 weeks is going to, he believes?
56% of Californians will be infected.
Wow. All right. We're just at the beginning of this.
Good news segment coming up in 10.
Crazy times. Yeah. We got good news. No such thing as a segment. We got the good news report coming up in about 10 minutes. Shane Knighty, patient. Thank you for waiting, my friend. How are you?
I'm good until I heard that news.
I know. What do we do? Like, I still want to report the news, but like it. We have Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints. We found out 90 minutes ago he tested positive.
Well, you know, and it's the sports world. You think of any time a team gets the flu, one member usually spreads through and leaves. Mm-hmm. But we're dealing with something different, and it's strange and scary times right now, and the best thing for everyone is trying, you know, stay home is the only way to try and stop the spread. But I think you're going to, and that's kind of what's been told, right? The peak is yet to come, unfortunately, and hopefully we can keep that peak as low as possible by everybody being smart and staying home. But so it's kind of a day-to-day thing. You wait and see where it's going to go.
So what have you been doing to pass the time?
I've been at home, and three kids starting to homeschool, although they're older. So they, you know, I've seen my son for maybe half an hour. He's got video games and guitar and get outside, try to exercise, work out. But I'm finding my happy hours, the hours increasing earlier and earlier each day. but no, you know, and we're trying to do stuff, you know, online with the Golden Knights. So we did, you know, Gary Lawless, Dan Dubin, and I did a podcast today. So we're doing that, you know, through FaceTime and recording, and then Dan Duva's using his wizard to get it all together. So you try to provide content to the fans here in very trying times, just like you guys are doing.
So what were some of the main topics on the podcast today?
Well, we talked a lot about, you know, Bill Foley's statement today about the Golden Knights stepping forward for, you know, part-time staff. Marc-Andre Fleury, of course, you know, putting $100,000 of his own money. But for people that basically, you know, help put on a game. You know, as a former player, you appreciate our job is kind of minimal when you think of everything goes on between, you know, the concessions, the amenities, and, you know, for the Golden Knights, we've got people, the divas, we've got the bells, we've got, you know, the nightline. There's so many people that make that whole event possible. It's good to know that, you know, there's a fund there. They're pledging money to make sure everyone's taken care of. So we talked about that. And then just little by little, what's been going on in our lives, which, you know, for everybody else, whether it's watching a TV show, whether it's, you know, trying to pick up a new hobby, a new book, or whether it's just being flat out bored. It's kind of, you try to keep things light as you can. I give Gary a hard time when I can, or Dave Gosher. That makes me feel better. I don't know about them.
That's Shane Knighty with us. It's Von Tobel, Cofield guy, John.
Well, Shane, I have to think, too, as like a former athlete, it's got to be way different for you than for me. Like, you know, the peak of my athleticism was like 195 after I finished P90X. For you sitting around all day, like, that's got to be tough.
I work out every day. I have to. And yeah. I actually just got back into it probably in the last year of getting myself. And it's good and kind of sad in a sense that it's good that I'm probably in the best shape of my life, but sad that I never got to this level when I was playing. So, yeah, I've kind of – that I need to do. That's like my therapy, even regardless of what's going on right now, is working out every day. But you know what? I think it's right now that's my time to, you know, kind of when I'm just in the yard or whatever, be outside. You need that. And I think, you know, if anybody can, to try and – whatever your routine is, try and stay as normal, as much normal as you can in these trying times. But certainly that's a big part of it. It's a good thing I got a 13-year-old son who likes video games, guitar, and he keeps me entertained as well.
You mentioned happy hour gets earlier every day. What's the drink of choice?
Well, that's the, you know, that I cut, it's hard because I cut out beer, which
yeah.
give me another week. Give me another week and let's talk.
Yeah.
the good thing Costco had loaded up on those Trulies or I like a vodka drink or a tequila. Yeah, I still find ways, but not too many. You got to manage that as well.
I did some Moscow Mules. My girlfriend makes some pretty good Moscow Mules with spicy vodka.
Yeah, there is, and I think everybody's going to get creative now. Yep. It's going to change.
No doubt. Shane Knighty with us, one of the Vegas Golden Knights announcers.
All right, so I have a couple of questions for you because I was going around like the hockey realm, and I wanted to pick your brain on a couple of things. The first one, so I noticed that Gritty, the Philadelphia 76ers mascot, decided to pen a letter to the fans of the Flyers. And my immediate thought was, yeah, that's nice, but he's also very annoying. Like, is he the most annoying mascot in the National Hockey League at this point? Potentially assaulted a child, is very ugly. Like, I think he's got to be at the top of the list.
Well, yeah, but it's that over the top that's made him popular. He's the one that's probably been on the most shows. And I remember when the costume came out, I think they introduced the one that was in last season, and you're like, what is that? But it suits the Philly fans. Anybody that's played there, I remember when I played the Ottawa Senators playing the Flyers. We were a seventh seed, knocked them out in the first round. They were second back when they had like Roenick and Primo. They had a great team, Brashear. But those fans just, They're hardcore, much like Boston when I played there. So Gritty maybe fits the fans there that can get a little bit annoying. Certainly saw that when the Eagles won. I think they were still singing here when they came to a Golden Knights games. I that song's burned in my head from the Philly Eagles. But yeah, Gritty, I would say he's up there probably for the most annoying, but probably, you ask a lot of people, probably most popular, if that makes sense.
Let's talk about some of the hard decisions that the NHL is going to have to make here on a return and then trying to play the rest of the regular season and the playoffs, but doing so without jacking up next season. Is it possible to actually finish out the regular season and then have full playoffs without really screwing up next year?
And that's the interesting question right now, and I think they're looking at a lot of scenarios. You know, I've talked about this with a lot of people, and it's not only that, it's the timeline. And because there's so much unknown, do you plan to come back, quick training camp? You know, do you finish off, or do you the regular season, or do you kind of revamp a playoff system where, you know, some, you know, bubble teams, and there's kind of a playoff wild card, the division leaders go through and wait? And do you play July, August, take out, you know, or September? That everybody's seen, they talk about taking October, starting in November. Can that work? I think there's a lot of things you can cut out in a regular season. I think you can certainly shorten training camp, preseason games. You can take out the All-Star game. You can cut the break for next year when I'm talking about that, if they go long to finish this season. My whole argument comes down to, as a player, it is such a grind in the regular season, and you've put so much effort in, for them to just wipe away a year, that's pretty tough to take, to not have you. And they haven't just played a bit of a season, you know, well into 70 games, 60 plus 70 games. You want to play for that reward that you've played those games for. And you know, hopefully things work out. They can find a way to still play for the Stanley Cup. I think as a player, I'd still want that opportunity. Then figure out a quick break, a quick rearrange. You still got to figure out a way to do the amateur draft. You got to do free agency. you know, whether it's a 3-week break, you got to fit a lot of things in there. There's a lot of parts that get put into this. But, you know, you think of teams, assets they've moved to challenge for this year. There should be, I hope, a way to still have competition and players and teams to compete for the Stanley Cup, because it would be a shame just to wash it away and say, let's just do another regular season next year. I think I'd rather see a way to work this year and, you know, maybe some compromise for next year to make sure you're able to award a Stanley Cup each and every year.
So, Shane, I'm going to throw you a tough one to close here. We mentioned at the start of the spot, Lakers, Sixers have some players, organization members who have tested positive. The Senators in the NHL, there's a report, you know, someone tested positive. There's other organizations in the NHL saying no one has tested positive. When you see people firing at the NBA and the NHL and saying, hey, we can't get tests, why are you guys testing the entire organization? What do you think of that? How do you answer that?
Well, I don't believe they're testing the whole organization.
Okay.
From my knowledge, I don't believe you can get a test unless there is a – first of all, you've got to have a reason for it. It just can't be a random person we're testing to see if they have it. There has to be a reason, at least from my understanding, that there has to be cause, you know, whether you're sick, not feeling right, fatigue. There has to be something that forces that test to come.
Interesting. Shane, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hopefully we gave you a little break from what's the madness of home, and thanks for spending a couple minutes with us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's the issue that's up in the air, John, is it seems to me like there's been multiple organizations that have tested everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And because we've seen players come out and say, hey, I didn't have symptoms. Well, then how'd you get a test?
Except for,
I was asymptomatic. Well, how'd you get a test?
Except for one. I don't know if you saw the Warriors did. Golden State Warriors.
Warriors actually made it a point, right?
Made a statement. They said, we're not getting tested. We're people just like everybody else. You know, we're not above anybody. If some of our guys show symptoms, just like everybody else, then maybe we'll get tested. But right now, there's no need to put all of us through tests and waste them at this point.
Well, we'll build on this specifically with the NBA because the mayor of New York has raised the issue, like the Nets. Like, how are the majority of your players getting tested? We don't have tests for the average citizen.
The crew over at Finley Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today.
Eric's IRS troubles were nasty.
I had 10 years of unpaid tax returns. I owed a ton of money in taxes. You know, I started getting letters.
And unbelievably complex.
Things that are written in the tax code are so complicated that if you don't pay a tax professional to do your taxes, you're going to screw up. This was such a complex problem, I did not think anybody could solve it.
Eric's whole life was about to go down the drain, so he called Optima Tax Relief.
Optima was able to make sense out of a huge disaster, and Optima stopped it.
To say the least, Eric was very relieved.
They got me out of hot water, that's for sure. Optima saved me a boatload of money and got me out of a horribly complex situation. It's a huge relief and a huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
Got a nasty, confusing tax problem? Do what Eric did and call Optima right now for a free consultation. Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey guys, it's Tyler Bischoff. The real estate industry has been inefficient for too long. Homie is here to change that. You get a dedicated agent, you can follow the whole process on the app, and it's all just $2,500, regardless of how much your house sells for. And right now, Homie is giving you a special $250 offer just for listening to me. All you have to do, text Tyler to 88588. For $250 off your listing fee. So check out homie.com. That's HOMIE.com.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
No hell below us.
Above us only sky.
Imagine all the people
living for today.
You know, I saw that this morning, and it actually went like another 2 minutes. A bunch of celebrities singing Imagine. It made me feel warm and fuzzy. I thought that was great. We need pick-me-ups. This is the portion of the show. We're going to bring you good stories. I don't think any of this will break, because this really is not a good story show. But I promise the audience I will be the voice of reason on good stories. That was wonderful. All those celebrities coming together to pick us up. I'll give them credit, too. Not everyone is a great singer. Right? Not everyone is a great singer. Not everyone had makeup on, which is brave of celebrities to get on there and look like us.
Yeah, Will Ferrell looked awful.
We're going to rip them for the way they looked.
Who is that?
Are you going to start going down this path, really?
I don't know the rules here. Can I do this?
You do whatever you want.
That was awful. That was the worst thing in the world. Nobody asked for this at all. It was cringeworthy, and it was a bunch of out-of-touch rich people going, I'm really comfortable in my massive home where people have gone out to get groceries for me. Hey, everybody, let me sing a song awfully for you so I can potentially make you feel better, but really what I'm doing is making me look good, and I really don't care about how you feel individually. I hated it.
I actually cried a little bit.
No, you didn't. You hated it too. Nobody liked that. There was
lots of people liked it.
No,
don't be so negative.
There is not. You
know
what?
Damn you.
There was one person in the world who watched that entire video and felt warm in their heart, and it was the dude who went to Disneyland 2,995 consecutive times.
His streak was over.
Yes.
And the new streak can begin. He's got a dare to dream and imagine his perfect form.
It sucked. And the song choice. What's the song choice? Is that supposed to make me feel better? The lyrics are kind of depressing.
Gal Gadot, Natalie Portman, Will Ferrell, Mark Ruffalo, Amy Adams.
Who's doing that noise?
What noise?
Who is that?
Sia, Nora Jones. I don't know what you're talking about. It's good singing. Kristen Wiig, Sarah Silverman, Zoe Kravitz. Thank you so much for doing that for us. Thank you.
You don't mean that.
Yes, I do.
Nobody means that.
Yes.
Nobody liked it.
First comment on the thread that I saw, this was a bunch of these celebrities putting together a mashup of Imagine. Someone goes, I didn't expect to see so many negative comments. It brought a little smile to my face, didn't hurt anyone, was cute. Why do we have to be so negative all the time? John!
Because nobody asked. Nobody asked. They're only doing this so they can look at, like, look at me. I'm generous celebrity who cares about the people underneath me. As I sit in my fortified compound of 10 rooms.
You're a jerk. Let me read some more of the comments. Lots of people don't agree with you. Say it again.
Says my servant goes to get groceries, and I don't risk my own health.
Someone else said, I'd like to, quote, imagine a world where a millionaire narcissist didn't turn a global pandemic into a social moment about themselves.
Of course.
Fat chance. Someone else said, the only thing moving right now is my bowels. I don't know why you people have to be so negative. I enjoyed it. I don't know why Ari can't just keep his hand on that mouse and keep playing that drop.
They were doing that for themselves.
The lack of discipline is alarming.
At the very end, they were doing that for themselves. Also, Ari doesn't have comedic timing. So
he's trying. He's working on it.
Sometimes, you know, it's natural when you just the drops just flow. The last guy had a really good feel of it.
Last guy.
Oh.
Yeah. There was a gal in between.
Yeah, I was going to say, I specified gender.
Yes. Other good news. I think this is actually good news for him. It's good news for teams that need a quality backup. Joe Flacco cut by the Broncos.
It is good news because then we don't have to watch him play quarterback anymore.
Let me say it again. This is a good news story. Joe Flacco is cut by the Broncos. Now he'll get a chance to go somewhere where they need a good backup. Wouldn't he be a nice backup to White Jameis in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Dynamicism?
Okay.
Of like from back, like from starter to backup, you go from dynamic starter to guy who's stuck in the pocket all the time. I don't think that'd be a good fit. He would be a decent backup for a team that really needs it. Yes. Like if you in a one-off spot, like if you're going to go from I don't know, Tyrod Taylor,
Flacco, Chargers yeah. emergency quarterback Joe Flacco.
Yeah, like something like that.
Jets based on last year.
Yeah.
With the mono and then Trevor Siemian getting his freaking leg snapped. I'll take Joe Flacco.
Or his foot folded in half. Oh, that was pretty bad.
I think this is a happy story for Joe Flacco. He gets to go somewhere else. And maybe he can even pick a a winning team and get a Super Bowl ring.
Well, but see, part of the thing, too, is I guess it's a good story. But the reason why he, they released him is I believe he failed his physical. So is he even healthy? So maybe it's just a spot where it's just like, Joe, maybe it's time to kind of give it up. Because it was a neck issue, right? Near the end of the year with the Denver Broncos, which kind of derailed the season other than the terrible play. So maybe you just kind of want to hang it up if you're not if you're not healthy.
Another happy story. Dude finds secret sauce, as you put it, for Tinder. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. So this guy, apparently a single man who had been left by his woman and hit up the dating sites, as many single men do, didn't have the greatest return at all on the swipes right on him. So what he did was he added a picture of himself with his dog, but his dog's in like the little baby Bjorn where it's like hanging in front of him. And apparently like his feedback just like tripled. He got match after match after match because of the dog in the picture.
The secret sauce.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
That is a happy story. He got Tinder to work for him.
Yeah. You got to do that.
Now, I feel like we're going to get a lot of creative innovations while we're all holed up and quarantined.
I got a good one later today. With my wife.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's in the big five. That is in the big five.
This is a good idea. Unlike Michael Scott making his screen name Little Kid Lover.
No, that didn't work out. That didn't work out. On the way back, we'll get that adjustment to the Bucks win total. Also, what these guys are watching on TV. Boy, Ari is really, really roughing it. That's the first show out of the gates. I mean, really? This is us? And for those who don't like the song Imagine, we apologize. And the world will live
as one. Cofield and Company. Cofield and Company.
We had a little noodles in there, baby. You see it? Do what it do, baby. Lord have mercy. Jesus, stir it up like coffee. Stir it up like coffee.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
Mark McMillan, regular contributor to ESPN Las Vegas, especially on the press box, was with us all fall. Got grilling with McMillan. Guy loves cooking, so he's not going to be hard up during this shutdown at all. He was making a little pasta there. Looked very good. He's great on the barbecue. Which brings us to the discussion we had post-show yesterday off the air. I'm sure this has to be the case for a lot of people. I'm not a big texter in terms of nonsense, but I have been the last week or so.
I noticed.
Yeah, I'm like, I start getting on Twitter and I send you guys links. Adam Hill will never answer, so that's consistent. It's really for McKinnell.
I don't know if I can do it anymore.
So yesterday, if you missed the show, we had a doomsday survival list, and we had like six key things that someone would be in charge of supplying. Food, water, toilet paper.
Whiskey.
Medical supplies. Whiskey, and then weapons and ammo. Yeah. So I gave weapons and ammo to McKinnell because he's going crazy. Food, it was kind of a mixed bag. It was like, depending on who you wanted to supply the food, what kind of food you wanted. Like, I got a couple of votes. I gave it to Adam because he was, good at desperation shopping. And McKinnell got all annoyed because he's like, I'm clearly the best chef on the show and on the station.
I'm going to misspell roux.
And then he bragged about knowing how to make a roux.
The smoke points of certain oils.
Yeah, smoke points of certain oils. He bragged about making a roux, but he spelled it R-U-E. So then later in the evening, once we're off the air, he sends us all the food he was making. And he had made some, he said it was a homemade sauce, homemade chicken meatballs, some pasta, and what was the other thing? Oh, some asparagus.
Yeah.
And it looked good.
Insanely wasteful, but good.
Well, I mean, you can make a lot of food and then have leftovers. Although, based on his background, I'm not sure, same for you. You guys have a Von Tobel family has a park in a school. So I don't know if you guys were leftover people.
Oh, I grew up leftover.
Did?
Yeah, guy, for sure.
Do you know people who are not leftover people?
Oh, I had to convert my wife.
Yep.
And like hers is like, no, it's not good anymore. I'm like, yes, it is.
The significant other, I don't think ever had leftovers as a kid. So, I mean, I keep stuff way too long. But like she's done, after like a day, she's done. Yep. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, we had leftovers all the time and we weren't poor. You just grow up on them.
Of course.
You don't waste food.
Sometimes it's better the second time around.
Yes. Yes. So he sent over his food du jour. Impressive spread. By the way, his wife weighs 90 pounds. He's slightly over 220. It's a little heavier than that, but he's a hearty eater. Made a lot of food. Then you sent over a crock pot picture.
Yeah.
That looked delicious.
It was fake.
Oh, it was? Yeah! I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Immediately, I see the crock pot full of some beautiful baked ziti. I was like, damn, he made that quick. I didn't hear anything about the ziti when he was on the air yesterday.
I just Google image baked ziti.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. And you sent it over, and I'm like, well, I'll have some of that over McKinnell's. And then, the smoke coming out of the ears. And then, like, midnight, just a random thought. I'm like, I'm kind of hungry. You got any of that ziti?
Yeah. But like, McKinnell's so, sometimes, like, the ego is so massive with this guy. He's like, what ziti are we talking about? The only pictures I see are the ones that I sent. I'm the only one that cooked last night. And I rolled over because I'd fallen asleep at that point. I looked at the phone, I'm like, this isn't worth it. Like, I actually had a couple of other fake photos lined up to send you guys. And I was like, I'm not.
Keep doing it, please. Keep doing it. Real or fake. And that's the other thing. He's like, I'm the only one who cooked. How do you know you're the only one who cooked?
Of course. I've cooked every night since the Von Tobel household, our apartment. We've cooked every night. And we've been under the self-quarantine thing since Friday. We've been sitting around home since Friday.
I mean, technically, I cook something every night.
Yeah.
It's not anything special. Like last night, we made a couple of burgers, some asparagus. And that was it.
Yeah.
But like, I made something. Didn't have to be elaborate.
No.
I'm the best chef. That was great. Good picture of the ziti. Keep busting chops on that front.
Well, I think what was going to give me away was they had the garnish on top, you know? Like, I'm not a garnish guy.
Well, we wouldn't know that. Yeah. All right. What are you watching on TV right now? We'll get to an update of the Red Sox. Start looking at their win total. If you didn't hear today, Chris Sale, TJ, Sox, Tommy John. I'm not a Red Sox lover, but my God, they have a challenging season this year, deciding to trade away Mookie Betts, and their pitching staff's already very beat up. The other day you said shows you were going to catch up on Westworld, Watchmen, and Castlevania.
Well, finish Castlevania. That's good.
Awesome.
You're not an animated person, though, like an animation person.
I'm not.
It's an adult cartoon, essentially. Vampires, medieval, that sort of stuff.
I have a list of like 20 shows.
Yeah.
So I'll get it in there. I already saw Watchmen, and Westworld just started. So I'd already seen the first two seasons of Westworld.
How many seasons are there now?
I think it's the beginning of three.
Three, okay. Yeah. So I haven't started either of the other ones. We've been doing more movies lately.
Okay.
Last night I watched In the Tall Grass. Have you seen that one? It's a Stephen King one. Essentially, a big giant grass field. People go into it and they never come out, like some weird time warpy kind of deal. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest. So I don't really like to watch movies. My wife does, so which is why I've watched a little bit more in terms of the movies lately. The thing with movies that I don't like is, like, when you watch a movie, you just get stuck in it. You know what I mean? It's like 2 hours. You got to see it through. It's just, it eats up so much time.
With a series, you can stop?
Yeah, I can stop and I can get back into it. And I really don't like movies that much.
We're not making, if I'm watching, well, I'll ask you this. Do you guys have like vastly different taste in movies and shows?
Not really. Yeah, she really likes anime a lot. The Japanese cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pretty into that. I do too, but I don't dive into it as much as her. Like she'll pick a random one. She's like, let me try this. And I'm like, I can't do that. I have to read it. I have to be told to watch it. I can't just start something random.
Man, my lady friend likes goofy stuff.
Yeah.
She is like rotating between that Love is Blind.
Oh, I tried
and she
it.
Can't get away from 90 Day Fiance, which are sort of the same theme. And she's like asking me every 5 minutes because she's home.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do 90 Day Fiance. Now that said, I did watch Love is Blind more last night. So
I can't do it.
When Adam Hill is back in, there's a couple of good characters later in the show. I know it was hard to get through the pods in like episode 1, 2, and 3, but it gets better.
Oh, they move past the pods?
Yeah.
They're
face to face. We're talking about getting close to getting married, cold feet, fights. I mean, I think a lot of it's acting, but there's some good characters. Like, you start to think of men and women you've been with. Maybe not men for us, but you get my point. Yeah. You start to watch, and you're like, ooh, I remember stuff like that in a relationship where, like, I was with someone who was batty, and that's that person. Like, just overthinking everything.
I just can't get in. I can't get past, because like you said, the acting aspect of it, and maybe people think like this, but I can't get past a person meeting somebody just vocally and going, I think I can marry that person. Like, and I just feel like it's just so over the top and fake. Like, I watched an episode and a half, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't.
Maybe you're just not a loving person, my friend. Open your heart like these people.
I'm down to open my heart, but, like, not after, like, a 20-minute meeting. They're like, I picked my one. He sounds so great. We're both Bears fans.
Please watch more. Ari has gone to the opposite end of the spectrum. Are you going to stick with it? You watch This Is Us?
You know what? I've actually started watching it before the shutdown. So
okay.
Why would you pick that?
You know, it's funny. Someone told me, it's a great show, and this is going to sound bad. He's very religious, and he was like, it's not like those other shows where there's all this, you know, debauchery and what I believe is real-life topics. So I thought, nah, I'm not watching it. It's going to be really corny. It can be a little corny, but it's just the family aspect. It's a really interesting story, and they do it. I will say the cool thing is they do it in three different sections where it's the family as the kids and then, like, as teenagers and then now as the
You've never
up.
Seen it?
I know the concept.
Yeah. It's good writing.
I watched
acting.
A lot of it. I dropped off in one of the seasons, but I'll probably get back on it.
It's a little soft for, you know.
Well, it's not even
not
like
soft
softness.
For me, my friend. I've got an open heart.
No, to me.
I'm a very feeling
maybe
person.
I'm not on your level
I'm
of
actually,
softness,
yes. I'm just going back to the other day. Like, in the middle of a pandemic, you're a single person all by yourself. Like, why would you watch the most depressing thing you possibly could when you're alone?
I mean, my answer to that
is himself.
Actually...
Yeah, that's
actually
what I'm saying. Like, you're by yourself. Yeah. Like,
some pick-me-ups, man.
If there is a good answer for that, it's actually... It reminds me of some of the stuff from my family. Like, good things. There's also good parts. You know, like, good memories, family and stuff.
You can hear where this is hitting with Ari, with the family.
Yeah.
Where also, it's hitting home.
It's not the only thing I'm watching. I told you, Dave, the new Lil Dicky show on Hulu. You guys don't have Hulu, do you?
I do.
All right, so there's
You
there's
guys
a
don't have Hulu. Come on now.
I'm not a Lil Dicky fan.
When I put a Hulu show in the rundown, it just gets glossed over. So I didn't know. That one's a pick-me-up. It's hilarious.
I'm not a Dickey fan.
Not a pick-me-up. Chris Sale, Tommy John surgery. What were you thinking on the Red Sox to begin with? I didn't think they were going to have a massive drop-off. This ain't good, though.
No, I didn't think so. So before all this went down, like, you know, coronavirus shutdowns of sports books, the Westgate opened up their win total 87.5, and they got bet down to 84.5. And obviously that was well before what we realized what was going to happen with Chris Sale. I thought they were going to be pretty down. I'm not sure in terms of the upheaval, like what's going to happen with that team. I wasn't in love with the pitching staff overall either. And now, if you get a full 162 games without Sale, who is like going to be, I think, their most rock-solid piece, it's going to be pretty rough for him, I think, at this point.
Like this 80s. Is without knowledge of who's tested positive for coronavirus. So I don't know rosters at all. I have no idea what's happening. Maybe the Red Sox have had 9 guys. Their pitching staff, minus Chris Sale, is Eduardo Rodriguez, who is a good 2 or 3.
He is inconsistent, but he is.
Maybe a better 3 or 4.
Yep.
Nate Eovaldi, who can't go beyond like 120 innings. Spring training, he came out right away. He's throwing 97 miles an hour. You're like, stuff, look at the stuff.
They rotted up over that stretcher. They had him, and they paid him all that money. And they're like, ooh, maybe not.
Man, Martin Perez, and then just a bunch of dudes who are unknowns, quadruple A guys, bouncing around. I mean, their bullpen was already Brandon Workman, Matt Barnes, Marcus Walden.
Wow. Yeah, like they really don't have anything from a pitching standpoint.
Still an awesome lineup, though. So Mitch Moreland and the kid Chavis splitting at first. Chavis can play some second. They got Peraza, who's a good utility player. And then their stars like Devers, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez, Benintendi, Jackie Bradley. You know, they got Verdugo in the trade from the Dodgers.
What they remind me of, kind of, like two similar teams that are built, the Angels. Right? Like a pitching staff that's got like a lot of massive question marks, but a lineup that you could sit back and go, you know, on any given night, that's actually a lineup to be relatively feared. I think the lineup for the Angels is slightly better.
I would bet over 84. One, based on the fact that you get to play, we'll see how long the season is.
Yeah.
But you get to play a lot of games against the Orioles.
Yep.
I think the Blue Jays will be better, but not great. Rays are good.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Yankees can be very good. Yankees pitching staff is exactly, you know, looking great right now. Although, with this delay, you know, a guy like James Paxton, if there's no complications, you were going to miss him until freaking June, and now the season might start in June.
But the issue with the Yankees is, like, and I know they still have they're dinged up in the lineup as well, is that lineup could probably tee off on the Boston Red Sox rotation. like you said, like the rotation for the Yankees isn't that great at this point where it stands, but that lineup could probably decimate whatever Boston's going to throw out there.
What do you think of that win total bumping up? Season win total, NFL, Bucks to 9.5. Too aggressive now?
I think so. I just
don't think they can win double digits with Tom Brady?
Oh, I think they can, but do you want to bet over 9.5? Right? Like, that's the question. Because if you're betting over 8.5 or 9, at least if they fall on 9, you're getting a push. If you're betting over 9.5, you're guaranteed, you know, obviously you have to have 10, 11 wins. And I'm just not sure in a division where you still have the New Orleans Saints, where you have a Falcons team that actually pushed pretty hard down the stretch, and the NFC overall, I'm just not sure if I want to do that. And you're probably in juice.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.